Opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Good morning. Welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. I am here today with my executive producer, Stacey Royster.
Good morning.
Good morning. We are live throughout the world. I want to say hello to everyone listening throughout the world in Tennessee and Connecticut and all over the place. I understand people listen on WLDCnews.com and LawTalkWithEthelMitchell.com. And I want to welcome you. This program is about the law, and it tries to be very practical, very down-to-earth, things giving you information that you can really use, because law really is powerful. It helps you or it can hurt you. It impacts everything you do. What you don't know about the law can really hurt you, and what you do know can empower you. So each week, this program, Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell, brings you lawyers and professionals to empower you. And today I'm going to use my own expertise with respect to wills, trust, and estate planning to talk to you about ways to empower yourself to know what and how to manage the transfer of your property at death, to know how to manage and protect yourself and your property during your lifetime, and to make sure that those you love, those that you want to benefit, are the people who get what you want them to get, and or the causes and you know, charitable institutions and so forth that you want to make sure are strong and stronger because of your contributions, also get parts of your legacy as you want them to do. But again, remember that this program is for information purposes only. There's no attorney-client relationship established by anything that's said on this program. Each person's circumstances are different, and you really must seek individual counsel for any situation for which you need legal advice. All of our programs are archived at lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com. So if you missed a program or you just want to listen to some of the programs, please go to lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com and click on the archive button, and those programs are posted there. I want you to realize also that this is a call-in show. It is live, and I welcome your calls and questions about wills, trust, and estate planning. You can call me at 1-800-450-7876. That's 1-800-450-7876. And after the program, if you want a consultation or you want me to work on your wills or trusts, you can call my office at 202-772-1988. One thing I think I need to make clear is that I cannot work on wills or trusts in states that I'm not a member of the bar. So although I belong to six different bars, I'm only active in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. To the extent that I'm able to, I try to refer people in other states to lawyers there that they can use for their particular situation if they live in a different state. But unless you have a lawyer there already, or I can find a lawyer there that I can work with, I'm not allowed to do, you know, wills and trusts in Tennessee or Mississippi or all over the country, okay? So, you know, we may work on that, but right now I don't have that capability. The law is very similar, but each state can be a little bit different. And so it's important for you to consult with a lawyer in your state who can talk to you about how your law impacts your wishes, what their, you know, documentation needs to be, what kind of phraseology, you know, how they want their deeds recorded and so forth like that. So anyway, we were talking, I have another program just before this one, Wills and Trusts with Ethel Mitchell from 8:30 to 9, and we had a whole conversation about reverse mortgages and about the fact that a lot of people are a little confused. They don't realize that you, even if you have a mortgage, you can still will your property. You can still transfer your property even if you have a mortgage. Whoever gets the property will have to make arrangements to pay the mortgage or the debt, but you can still have the papers prepared so that if, or rather when you die, the person you want to gets the property. Yes. Hello, Raymond? We have a caller? Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm on board. Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. How can I help you?
I was just wanted to ask the question. Are you just taking the question on trust and wills, or could I ask a personal question about the law?
I only answer questions about wills, trust, and estate planning, sir. If you have a question about something that doesn't have to do with that or property, you know, transfer of property, if you want to, you can call my office at 202-772-1988, and to the extent that I can hear what it is and then refer you to a lawyer that can maybe help you. But that's the only kind of law that I do.
Oh, okay. And what was that number again?
202-772-1988.
Okay. Well, I'm in Ohio. I don't know if you practice law in Ohio or
I don't, sir. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was there recently, right. But I don't in Ohio. No, sir.
Okay. Appreciate it anyway.
Okay. Okay. Have a good day. Have a good day.
You too.
Yes.
Well, that just points, we were just talking offline about the need for a national directory of
some Yeah, I'm going to see if I can work on creating something like that, because there's a real need for it. There's a real need for it. Most of the legal things that I talk about with respect to my area of law, I try to keep it as general as possible, and the law as it applies to the transfer of property, to wills, power of attorneys, and so forth. The general law is the same throughout the country, even though there may be specific differences in how the law of intestacy, which is a law that governs transfer of property when you die without a will, those states have different percentages as to, you know, between your spouse and your children and so on like that. In general, what you hear me saying about the transfer of your property and how you go about doing it will be more or less applicable. But again, you do need to confirm that and work with a lawyer in your state to prepare your documents, actually, okay? Mm-hmm. So anyway, we were talking about mortgages, debt, liens on property. How do you deal with that when you die? How? Not you. You're gone. Okay. But how do your heirs deal with it? And on the other program, I had explained how a reverse mortgage works, that a lot of people have gotten these reverse mortgages. They are not paying during the term, during their lifetime, but then when they die, the reverse mortgage must be paid off. And it does not mean that the bank takes your property. It does not. If you have a regular mortgage, the bank doesn't take your property. They just want their money. And there are different ways of getting their money. You can refinance. You can go to the bank yourself if you've got good credit or reasonable credit and a down payment and some kind of savings. If you have other credit, you know, if you've shown where you've paid off your car loan or you've paid off you're responsible when it comes to what do they call that, department store debt, you know, like you get a Macy's card or whatever and you're paying it on a regular basis and so forth. Those are the kinds of things that they look at. And you know, if you inherit a property, then you go and see if you want to keep the house. then you go and you try to see that if you can refinance that mortgage. If you can get a 20-year or 30-year mortgage to pay off the reverse mortgage, that's what you do. And I want to encourage all of the people out there who got reverse mortgages to have a conversation with the people that you want to leave the house to say, you know, look, when I die, this is how much is owed even right now.
So that they're not surprised. They can
start, not only that, but they can start preparing. You know, if you have a $160,000 principal balance right now, you know, your loved one or the person that you expect to inherit, your child or so forth, will know, okay, I've got to have a mortgage for at least this amount and more. And so then I can go to a credit counselor. I can start cleaning up my credit. I can start saving my money, mm-hmm. you know, because a lot of children, and I say children, I mean adult children, actually live in the homes with the parent already. So that means they're not paying rent. So they can start saving the money instead of just spending it on clothes and stuff like that. They can start saving that money mm-hmm. so that when the parent does die and they do get the property as they expect to get, you know, and make sure those arrangements are done. You got to make sure they're done. They are able to refinance. And now let's suppose that you want to do that for one person, but you got more than one child.
Right.
How do you deal with that?
That's a great question.
Yeah, because it's quite common that you got three or four children, and you want to leave something for all those children, and some children may have their own home already. So what are the ways that you deal with that? Well, one of the things that you can do is you can say, okay, if I leave the home to this one child, okay, then I can leave my life insurance to the other children. That's a very common way of evening out, or to the extent that you can even out mm-hmm. the legacies that you're leaving for the respective children. And although we're talking about mortgages and so forth, that can be done in any situation. Mm-hmm. It's often done, let's say you have a business and one or two children work in the business, and they want the business, they would be the best people to continue the business. And then you got two or three children outside of the business that may not want anything to do with it. They're just not interested, but you want to benefit them too, okay? So you use your other assets to benefit those children that are outside of the business, life insurance, maybe cash money, retirement money, and so on like that. Mm-hmm. And then you give the business, or maybe it's your house or so forth, to the children or the child that can best use that particular asset. And that's why I say it's important to sit down with someone like myself who does this work all the time, and not to just try and take a form and just, you know, some legal Zoom or whatever, and just do a form and say, well, they'll have to work it out. Because you really can, you know, create a legacy that is equal and even among children, among your heirs, among those who you love. And you can, and then that way encourage the continuation of the legacy and the harmony, and also hopefully the continued growth of the financial stability and strength of each family. I mean, that's what this is really all about. If each family inherited $100,000 and did not spend it, think about that.
Now that could be
among black people. I want to make this clear. This is true for white people and, you know, Chinese and everybody, okay? But you know, I'm African American, and we have not always, we know legally we've not always, and financially, we've often been behind the eight ball, you know, from slavery, segregation, whatever. But now we are not, and we are able to save our money. We are able to, and we do, contrary to popular opinion, most black people do not spend all their money on bling and glamour and $100 tennis shoes and 10,000 cars, and that's not true.
Right, that's right.
That is just not true. That's a popular myth. That's not true. So most people are going to leave an estate of no less than $100,000, whether that's cash money or that's the value of the home that they have. Mm-hmm. Just think about it. If every family saved that $100,000, just think about that, you know? It would only take 10 families to have $1 million. Do you realize that?
That's something to think about.
Do you realize that? Mm. So if each child in a family got $100,000, let's say your parents die, they leave a home, they leave life insurance, and they leave retirement accounts and so on like that. And so instead of, and each of the children get $100,000, and instead of spending that $100,000, they decide to invest that $100,000 together. That alone would give that family $1 million. That $1 million alone, invested, not spent, invested, will generate $50,000 to $100,000 just in interest every year, without them touching it.
That's powerful.
You see, without them touching it. And so, in a prior show, I was talking about how, you know, Forbes magazine had this article about the wealthiest family in the United States. My son told me it's the Mellon family. You know, I don't know, but I don't remember, because it wasn't any of the names you always hear, Bill Gates and all these other people, right? You know, but what was curious to me was their thinking, and they were trained by their ancestors to never spend the principal. They never touch the principal, which means in our situation, if each child, or if 10 people put together $100,000, that's $1 million. They never touch that $1 million, which means that the $100,000 a year that the interest is earning on that money is all they ever touch. And they only touch that for the purpose of making more money, because they were taught that their obligation for receiving all this money was to make it more.
And pass it on.
And pass it on.
Yeah.
Because, of course, every family gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Because you're going to have children, then your children are going to have children, and so on like that.
And Ethel, for those listeners who may be thinking, you know, I don't have this kind of money. We mm-hmm. never had this kind of money. We're never going to have it. And what is the, you know, the hope, the planning, the resources that maybe for somebody like that who says, I want to be in that type of position, and, mm-hmm. and maybe historically my family hasn't been in this type of position, mm-hmm. but I want to start, you know, what's a good start for them to be able to position their family and future generations positively?
I would say the first thing you need to do is get a good financial advisor, okay? Those people can tell you, they are trained, and they know. And I'm not talking about just an insurance agent who's just going to sell you insurance. I'm talking about an advisor who's going to sit down with you. You can, you know, an advisor, a planner will say to you, what are your goals? And if you say to them, I want to leave a legacy of X amount, then they say, okay, how do you do that? How much money do you make? What are your obligations? Okay, in just a moment. Then they can help you with that. They can help you with that. And when we come back after the break, we'll talk about this some more, okay?
Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell is sponsored by Equity Resource, a development, construction, and investment firm that is transforming properties throughout the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Our mission is to develop properties at a high level of value, a low risk of investment, while providing impeccable service to our customers. When you're ready to sell, renovate, or invest in a property, choose Equity Resource. Call us today at 202-621-6632 or visit our website, equityresource.net.
DMV. Like we always for the best circus ever? Get ready for the Universal Circus! For the young and hard and for the people that...
Things to get down.
I thought it was real good. Everybody was great.
So you say you saw it last year, you've seen it before?
It's definitely different.
It's something new every year. Don't miss out. Going on right now through July 19th at the National Harbor. Visit UniverseSoulCircus.com for tickets and details. Sponsored by McDonald's. Deeply rooted in the community.
I can make an impact in the world. As young people think that we can't make a difference, but not only we can make a difference, but sometimes we can make the biggest difference.
We wanted to be the doers and we wanted to be the changers.
You just have to find something that you're passionate about and use your talents and your abilities to volunteer.
Volunteering doesn't have to be a chore.
It really is a reward in itself.
It helps you get farther in life.
There is no better feeling than helping somebody else.
You could see one person smile. You could tell they needed that smile, and it could really change and open up your heart to new things.
A lot of things are really competitive about individual achievement. Volunteering is a way to take a step back from that.
See a need, gather friends, and change the world.
Changing someone's world.
It happens now. This is the time. And this is when you learn, so why not start?
Are you a young volunteer making a difference? Apply for the Prudential Spirit of Community Award. Visit spirit.prudential.com.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn today.
The only thing I didn't learn
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Blue is my favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Red is my favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Well, yeller's sweller for this little feller.
And me, I'm keen on green.
So what's your favorite color? Tell us, please.
Kids will spend 20 minutes listening to songs like
what's
this.
What's your favorite color? Tell us, please. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite?
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives and the Ad Council.
Getting your child home safely.
Tap your views together 3 times.
Is just a click away.
There's no place like home.
But making sure your child is in the right seat is just one of the steps down the road to safer travels.
I don't know how it works.
Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. There's no better way to get home safely. Know for sure that your child is in the right seat.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Get all the facts at safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I can make an impact in the world. As young people think that we can't make a difference, but not only we can make a difference, but sometimes we can make the biggest difference.
We wanted to be the doers and we wanted to be the changers.
You just have to find something that you're passionate about and use your talents and your abilities to volunteer.
Volunteering doesn't have to be a chore.
It really is a reward in itself.
It helps you get farther in life.
There is no better feeling than helping somebody else.
You could see one person smile. You could tell they needed that smile, and it could really change and open up your heart to new things.
A lot of things are really competitive about individual achievement. Volunteering is a way to take a step back from that.
See a need, gather friends, and change the world.
Changing someone's world.
It happens now. This is the time. And this is when you learn, so why not start?
Are you a young volunteer making a difference? Apply for the Prudential Spirit of Community Award. Visit spirit.prudential.com.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell, and my producer and I are having a very good conversation, I think, about how do you protect your legacy, how do you create a legacy, and then how do you protect it as a legal matter.
Right.
And Stacy just asked me an excellent question. If you want to create a strong financial legacy, how do you do it? Let me give you the example of this is a true story, okay? Very poor family. We're talking everybody in one room, you know, six boys, I think, was in the family. Single mother. When they grew up, they were really poor. And each of them grew up, you know, went away to school, came back home, and started doing whatever they, you know, became trained to do.
Mm-hmm.
Only three of the six, I think, went to college. The others became construction people. They did yard work. These are black people I'm talking about, too, okay? But what they did was, even when they were poor, they started a joint savings account. And they would put in a certain amount of money from everybody's earnings.
Wow.
Okay? And that just grew over the years. And sometimes it was used for family emergencies. But most of the time, they just kind of, everybody would put in, you know, because one of the things that you have to be aware of is, when you are poor and you start to make money, don't immediately start acting rich, okay? Because a lot of people do that. You know, you're a college kid. You're not used to having any money. You finally get out of school, and now all of a sudden you want a $1,000 a month apartment. You want to buy a fancy car. You start buying all these Louis Vuitton bags and all this other stuff, you know. I believe in enjoying money. Don't get me wrong. But don't immediately start to spend everything that you made when you're not used to having that kind of money anyway.
Right. That's
okay?
Right.
In fact, I'll get back to my story, but one of the best stories, I remember reading it in Ebony, about a couple who amassed a huge art collection, and did they do it? And what they said was, when they first got married, the wife and the husband knew that when she had children, she wanted to stay home with the kids. And so what they did at that point was, they decided her salary would always be saved.
Her entire salary?
Her entire salary would be saved.
Wow.
And they would live only off of his salary. Okay? So they just started, and it was really for the purpose so that when she did have kids, she could stay home and their quality of life would not be severely impacted. So instead of creating a lifestyle that was built on having two incomes, they created a lifestyle that was built on one income. And it wasn't, I mean, he wasn't making six figures, you know? But that's how they started. And so every month when she got her check, that would be saved. And yes, she did have kids, and so she stayed home with the children.
I love it.
Okay? And so when she stayed home and she wasn't making money, you know, they managed to keep the savings because their bills were not predicated on two salaries, you see. Then when the kids got older, went back to school, she went back to work. And they continued the process of saving her salary, you see. And so what that did was, they had a large sum of money, and so they were able to use that money to save and to build and to event, and then they started buying art and just little pieces, you know, maybe $50 here, $25 here, you know, whatever, and then eventually, you know, but then when they'd see a piece that was a couple of $1,000, they had saved. I mean, think about it. If you make $500 every 2 weeks, that's $1,000 a month. That's $12,000 a year. That's $60,000 in 5 years, you know, and a lot of people make more than that.
And then that money was growing.
And it's growing. Yeah, that money's making money. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? So that was one way in which to do it. Another, going back to my family, they were, each of them putting in money. Okay, each of the six boys were putting in money over the years. And after a while, they started having enough money, because some were construction people. They would buy rental property. You know, they take some money, take maybe $10,000 or $20,000 out as a down payment.
Very smart.
And they would buy a house. Or one of them wanted to buy a house. They would take the money from there, from the family bank, it started being called. And it wasn't $1 million or anything, but it was, you know, it builds. Especially if you've got six people putting in. You know, remember the 500? If you got six people putting in, that's, what, $3,000 a month.
But I must say, this has to be a rare example, because I hate to say it. How many of us, even
how
with
many
sisters
of us,
and brothers and cousins?
But we don't know about it.
Well, I'm saying with
we don't even think
trust
about it.
Each other to say, well, I'm putting in every week. And
well, I mean, you got to know your family and all like that, you know. another thing that in the Caribbean they do, because I lived there for many years, people who work together would do what they call a pat in the hand. And what that was every paid period, let's say you, I, and two other people work together, and we say every week we get paid. Let's say we get paid every week. And every week we're going to put $25 together, okay? So that's $100 every week, $400 every month. So this month you would get the $400, okay, next month I'll get the $400 and around the group
$100.
You see what I mean? So that you could save, maybe on your own salary, you couldn't save $400. That would take you too long to do, or forever. You could do it, but it would take so much longer. But this way, just by putting aside $25 with three other people, you know every 4 months you were going to get that $400. And you could save and know that, because people would come to me and they'd say, Miss Mitchell, I'm going to pay your bill next month because I get my pad in the hand. And I would know what they were talking about, because, you know, it was just a very popular and regular system. And so that's another system that's used.
I think I need to start one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, you work with people every, you know, you've been working with them for years. And it's just another system. And I think we need to look at other cultures to find out how do they do it, you know, and then start to adopt it or adapt it to our own uses. So it could just be friends. It doesn't have to be family. It could just be friends and just say, you know what, instead of us going out drinking every Sunday, every Friday, we'll drink a little less, okay? And everybody give us a check for $50 every week. You know?
Good idea.
Every week. And then, you know, once a month, you know, there's your 200 or there's your 400 or there's your whatever.
In addition to the financial advisor, there's another practical small example of starting somewhere.
Starting somewhere. And then what the advisor can help you with. This is where they are very good. And that is in telling you how to and where to save that money and make a plan. So that if you've got a 7-year-old child, for example, and you want to make sure that when he or she is 18 or able to go, ready to go to college, you've got the money saved to put them in college. Or let's say you're renting right now and you want to buy a house. They can help you by saying, okay, this is how much you make, you know, this is how much you can save, this is how much you're going to need for a down payment. And so, you know, if you do X amount over this period, this will give you enough of a down payment so that when you go into the bank, you'll have enough money to make your down payment, and you don't have to raid your retirement account. You know,
good.
Don't get me started with that one. Ooh. A lot of people raid their retirement account to send their kids to college, to buy a house, to do, you know, they do all of their financing through their retirement account. And then when they get ready to retire, they don't have anything to retire. You know, because once you take that money out, it's not earning money for you anymore. You know, so real financial planners will plan for you. You know, I know a lot of people are using them to get ready to retire. You know, and I know they didn't tell me to come and talk about this, but you asked the question, and that is truly, truly a very effective way. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you can sit with your own family, you can sit with your own friends, you can do these little things yourselves, you know, and then make the best use of the money that you can. But the bottom line is to save. It really is. The bottom line is to save. I mean, the only money that's any good to you is the money that's saved, because then it can make money for you. Once you spend it, it's gone. It's gone. So we've got to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll get back to talking about the legal pieces as well. And please call in, please.
WOL.
Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell is sponsored by Equity Resource, a development, construction, and investment firm that is transforming properties throughout the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Our mission is to develop properties at a high level of value, a low risk of investment, while providing impeccable service to our customers. When you're ready to sell, renovate, or invest in a property, choose Equity Resource. Call us today at 202-621-6632 or visit our website, equityresource.net.
Blue is my favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Red is my favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Well, yeller's sweller for this little feller.
And me, I'm keen on green.
So what's your favorite color? Tell us, please.
Kids will spend 20 minutes listening to songs like
what's
this.
What's your favorite color? Tell us, please. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite?
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives and the Ad Council.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh yeah, seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is like busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
I can make an impact in the world.
As young people think that we can't make a difference, but not only we can make a difference, but sometimes we can make the biggest difference.
We wanted to be the doers and we wanted to be the changers.
You just have to find something that you're passionate about and use your talents and your abilities to volunteer.
Volunteering doesn't have to be a chore.
It really is a reward in itself.
It helps you get farther in life.
There is no better feeling than helping somebody else.
You could see one person smile. You could tell they needed that smile, and it could really change and open up your heart to new things.
A lot of things are really competitive about individual achievement. Volunteering is a way to take a step back from that.
See a need, gather friends, and change the world.
Changing someone's world.
It happens now. This is the time, and this is when you learn, so why not start?
Are you a young volunteer making a difference? Apply for the Prudential Spirit of Community Award. Visit spirit.prudential.com.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn...
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. And we've been talking about a lot of things today, but Stacy asked an excellent question about how do people without money, you know, get the kind of money that I've been encouraging people to consider. And we've talked about when you inherit money or when you leave money to someone, teach them what to do with it. Tell them what your expectations are. If your grandmother said to you, or your father or your mother said to you, now look, if you get my house or you get this money I'm leaving you, I don't expect you to go buy a new car. I expect that you're going to save it and you are going to use it for, you know, to grow and make our family stronger, then at least think about it, listen to it, and do it. In a trust, one of the things, and let me just kind of interject this, one of the things that a trust will do for you is to insist, at least traditionally, trusts were created so that the principal, meaning, let's say you get the $100,000 in cash, often a trust document will say that that principal is not to be touched. And it is only the income that can be used. And so if you are a parent or a grandparent or a person with assets that you're passing on to your loved ones, whoever that might be, whether they're adults or children, you can provide that they are only to get the income of what is generated by the money, okay? If it's rental property, income would be the rents, okay? And that's net, you know, after you do all the repairs and you pay the taxes and so forth like that. If you are the owner of the property and you create the trust, you can say in your trust they're only to get the income. And that's a way in which very wealthy families did make sure that the money, or tried to make sure that the money would continue to grow. You see, if you have a business and you provide that the ownership of the business is in your trust, you know, and so that the value of the business grows in the trust, you can still provide that whatever, you know, that income, the profit or whatever, is to be used XYZ, but it is to accumulate. And continue to accumulate, you see. So you can do that, and you can still say, if there is a financial emergency caused by an accident, an illness, or some other health-related issue, then they can invade the principal. But short of a health situation, you can make that money stay in the bank or wherever it is, and only the income that's generated by that. And that is often used where the loved one, the older person, wants to make sure that the adult children, or whoever they are, and you can say this in a trust too, you want your beneficiaries to be self-sufficient. That what you're leaving them is not to make them lazy, basically.
Yes, definitely.
You know, they're supposed to become self-sufficient as a result of their own efforts, you see. So that's a way that the person that owns the property can impose their own values, because, as I've said before, a trust allows you to control your property assets after your death. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of it has to do with training. A lot of it has to do with, you know, you still have to tell people that that's what you want, but you can impose that. And what another thing that people don't realize is you don't, even if you don't have anybody in your family that can be the trustee, i.e. the person who is in charge of it, banks will do that function for you. They have whole trust departments that do nothing but manage money. And they manage money for the benefit of other people pursuant to the terms of the trust that created and holds this money. So let's go back to during the break. You know, you and I were talking about people being on welfare, and you know, how do you get from welfare to $1 million? You know, and you start by, number one, making the decision to do so. And I think that it's important that you look at examples of people who have done it. And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, because the chief of police has said in public that even she was on welfare at one point in her life.
That this is the D.C.
D.C. chief of police. Mm-hmm. That at one point in her life, she was on welfare. She had a baby when she was very young, you know? And so she was able to put herself, and through training and a lot of effort, and as so many other people have been able to do, to get themselves in a position where they are able to make a good living and take care of themselves and their families. When you are working, make it a habit to save. Just the easiest thing is just have your bank take the money out before you even see it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't see it, then you know. It's growing, but you're not missing it because you don't see it. It's not in your check, you know. Another thing, wherever you are working, make sure you put into the retirement account.
Yes.
You know, I can't say that because, as I said before, you know, interest makes interest. You know, if you save the money in an environment where it is earning money, whether it's CDs, stock market, whatever, it's making money. If you start at 20 investing into your retirement account and you don't touch that money,
and at the maximum contribution,
at the maximum amount that you can,
especially if your company matches.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's found money.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And you're not, and taxes are not being taken out of it.
Right.
You see. And so the longer that money is sitting in your retirement account, the more money you're making. And it doesn't have to be a lot. It could be $100 every two or three pay, you know, a pay period, whatever that happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it adds up, you see. And if you let it continue over a longer period of time, there are these amazing charts that show the difference. It can make we're talking millions of dollars in difference between if you start at 20 and when you start at 40.
Yes.
You know, and it's huge. So you and your children who are of that age, you want to encourage them to do that.
But I love hearing you say to people that no matter where you are in life financially, you can start somewhere to build to the
start
point
where you
of
are.
Leaving a financial legacy.
Yes, you can.
And building one for yourself, first of all, and then leaving a legacy.
Yeah.
And it's doable.
It's definitely doable.
There's past examples of it's doable.
There are lots of examples of it. Look, people have their day job, right? And then they have other things that they do to make money. For generations, women have cooked baked cakes, You know, like everybody got an aunt or somebody in the neighborhood that bakes cakes. You know what I mean? There's a young lady at my office. Her mother works at the office, and this child makes the prettiest cupcakes. Oh my God, she can just decorate and just amazing stuff. You know, that's money. That's extra money. You know, and if you get in the habit of saving that extra money. That extra money is not to buy you a new pocketbook, okay? That extra money goes into the bank, and it stays there, you see. And it grows. And it's amazing how if you just – I'm sorry we don't have piggy banks anymore, because that's a great way for children to physically see money growth. You know, my
we
need to go back to that.
We actually started a piggy bank for the grandchild.
Oh, that's good.
Because it's shaped like a bottle. It's huge.
Uh-huh.
And at the baby shower, you bring it, and people that even have loose change
will
even start putting in.
Exactly. and get the baby putting money in it, too, so that they get to associate it growing with putting money in and not spending
it out.
You know? And the old-fashioned passbooks.
Mm-hmm.
You take the child to the bank, and they have their little passbook, and they put their little $10 in there, or $5, or $1, whatever it is. And they say, you see how it's growing and growing? Those are the kinds of habits that make children learn how to save.
And you know what? Another example, when I purchased my home, I actually said to my nephew, I laid out the statement from my bank. Well, I didn't show all the amounts necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Here is my bank statement. Here is my 401k statement. I was able to show these assets to be able to help me to qualify
for the mortgage to buy your home.
So
right.
It's training
and we need to tell, we have to tell the generations that's
absolutely
how it's done.
Yes.
That's how it's done. So I hope that people have gotten ideas. I hope this has been helpful to people. I want to encourage people. I really do believe that you can, I know at least in this country, you can certainly better yourself.
Yes.
Regardless of what else is going on. I once heard a statement that I thought was excellent, and that is, the economy you need to be concerned about mainly is your own economy. You are your own economy. It doesn't matter if the rest of the world is in a recession or whatever the opposite of that is. You need to think of yourself as your own self-contained economy. And what's going on in your economy? What's happening to your bank account? What's happening to the money that you bring in? And men and women need to look at where their money is going. You know, I believe in enjoying money. Don't get me wrong. You know, I can spend some money now, you know. But I knew early.
But you have balance.
I knew. And also be real. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Be real about what kind of work you're going to do. If you are a teacher, is that going to generate enough money for you to live the way you want to live?
Right.
You know, maybe you need to be a doctor or something else if a different kind of lifestyle is better, is what you want, you know? And so you want to think about all those things. And most importantly, you want to protect whatever it is that you do have. So you want to have your power of attorney. So that if, God forbid, you were in a car accident and you had a stroke or something, regardless of your age, you will have put in place the person that you know, because you know your family, okay? You know who's good with money, you know who's not. Your spouse does not have to be on your power of attorney. Do understand that, okay? But you know who is going to take care of your money for you, so you have executed a valid power of attorney that says, if I am incapacitated. Two doctors have examined me and said, by reason of illness, whatever, I can no longer act rationally in my own best interest, then this is who I authorize to pay my checks. This is who I authorize to take care of my legal affairs. This is who I authorize my credit card companies and mortgage people or whoever it is to talk to and deal with. If I'm sick, this is who I authorize. I've got a medical directive. This is who I authorize my doctors to talk to. This is what I want to have happen. And when I die, I've got my will and or I've got my trust to say, you know, this is who I want to get my stuff and how I want them to get it, what I want done with it, and, you know, if I want to save it, you know, I want to do a whole show about the ability of grandparents in particular to save for their children's education. A lot of people say their children got more money than they do,
yeah.
You know, because they're adults. Well, you can put that money aside in a trust and say, okay, my grandchildren, I'm going to create a trust. And I'm going to give, I'll give, you know, maybe half of it to my children, you know. But I want the other half to be put aside in a trust. And it's only to be used for the higher education of my grandchildren. Or if they don't go to college, either they don't get it, or maybe they can get other kinds of, you know, education. And you can create a fund. And that fund can, you can say in that fund, only use the income.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you can also say in a trust that other people can contribute to that trust as well. So even after you're dead and gone, you leave your $100,000, you've created that trust. See, and that account is sitting up there.
Build.
And then you can just build it, you know?
I love it.
Yeah. So I want everybody to be wealthy. I
yes.
really do.
We're claiming it, Ethel.
Why not? Why not? You know? Why not? It can be done. So anyway, I hope you've enjoyed the program, and I will be back next week with some more interesting information for everyone. Have a good week. Goodbye.
News updates on the web at WOLDCnews.com.
Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell is sponsored by Equity Resource, a development, construction, and investment firm that is transforming properties throughout the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Our mission is to develop properties at a high level of value, a low risk of investment, while providing impeccable service to our customers. When you're ready to sell, renovate, or invest in a property, choose Equity Resource. Call us today at 202-621-6632 or visit our website, equityresource.net.
Parent brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction. But where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches?
WOL Washington. WPRS HD2 Waldorf. WKYS HD2 Washington. WMMJ HD2 Bethesda. A Radio 1 station. And worldwide at WOLDCnews.com.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh yeah, seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is like busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
I can make an impact in the world. As young people think that we can't make a difference, but not only we can make a difference, but sometimes we can make the biggest difference.
We wanted to be the doers and we wanted to be the changers.
You just have to find something that you're passionate about and use your talents and your abilities to volunteer.
Volunteering doesn't have to be a chore.
It really is a reward in itself.
It helps you get farther in life.
There is no better feeling than helping somebody else.
You could see one person smile. You could tell they needed that smile, and it could really change and open up your heart to new things.
A lot of things are really competitive about individual achievement. Volunteering is a way to take a step back from that.
See a need, gather friends, and change the world.
Changing someone's world.
It happens now. This is the time. And this is when you learn, so why not start?
Are you a young volunteer making a difference?
Apply for the Prudential Spirit of Community Award. Visit spirit.prudential.com.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration, a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up, impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important, and little things like patience and kindness count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn today.
The only thing I didn't learn
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
We're not negative. We're just keeping it real. Keeping Up with the Joneses will be right back on WOL.